Okay, so let me go through this article, Carolyn. My old acquaintance Michael Wolff wrote a very good article, and I think they nailed what Ion's talking about, or he did. So here we go. The guy says, his title is, Trump tapes can't kill a candidate who plays by shock jock rules. Okay, here's the article. So maybe just let me read a bit, unless you have to comment. Okay, Ion?
No worries.
Here we go.
We'll yield.
Yeah, the old-fashionedness of the way NBC News reflexively viewed the now infamous Access Hollywood recordings might be hard to explain to a new generation of anti-Trump reporters. The true hold of the Donald Trump campaign, especially on the media, has not been about how he might win, but in what kind of conflagration or hapless meltdown of ritual and propriety he would lose. They think he's going to crash. They're waiting for that. Contrary to any political common sense, he has not been chastened by each of his many crises, but to the absolute amazement of the media, in every respect morally and institutionally against him, has doubled down. So that means he's done better. He's doubled down every crisis. Correct, Ian? Is that what double down means?
No, double down means it's close to that, but it's a little more than that. When someone says, you are a racist, okay? And he, to double down, says, I am not a racist. I am the nicest person. I just don't care for niggers. That's doubling down. You can't do
all right,
that.
So
but
that's what he does. He does that, right?
Yes. And that's,
okay,
and that's
so contrary.
Corrupt. He'll say, he doubles down. They accuse him of having sex with women. He says, are you kidding? And you think I'd have sex with her? And then he doubles down. But now this one, I would love this one. I would do this one. So he comes back and says, oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, and I'd sleep with you, too, if you'll just be still.
Hey, Carol, well, that describes me. I do that in my radio personality, correct?
Of course.
Yeah. Contrary to any political common sense, he has not been chastened by each of his many crises, but to the absolute amazement of the media in every respect, morally and institutionally, against him, they're all against him, has doubled down. They're amazed at how he doubles down. It has sometimes seemed as if he were actually planning all this, that the media was cannily set up to be the predictable and dopey foil to his unapologetic and inexplicable comebacks. Now, Ian, you've implied that. Has that guy got it right there?
He's got it right on the money. The stage. The world is but a stage. He's just dancing. He's just having fun. He made his own disaster. He made his own 911. So he could have the 911 set up for 911. So he could be the first responder.
Over the course of...
Because you remember now, he wasn't going to make it into the campaign, the GOP. He wasn't going to make it through the first debate. He wasn't going to make it through the first primary. He wasn't going to beat out Jeb Bush. And he wasn't going to beat out Carly Fiorina.
And
he wasn't going to talk about Megyn Kelly's menstrual cycle, and he wasn't going to talk about all that kind of stuff, but on live national TV and talk about the size of his dick in comparison to the size of his hand in front of everybody, and any step of that would be death. It would be instant. You just have one Aleppo moment, and you're done. Mr. Speaker, I paid for this microphone, this Ronald Reagan famous, and they still pay that ridiculous sentence. Which is how he won the White House. And he said, I only fuck pretty chicks. That's what you need to know.
Pussy?
Yes, I said pussy. And then on CNN, and they said pussy on CNN. But then they come back and then they say, well, we shan't be pussy-footing around. That's what his female counterpart campaign manager says. So at every level, he just blows it out of the water. Yeah, hell yeah. And if Bill Clinton had done that, he'd have never been impeached. Yes, I sleep with her. Yes, I sleep with women. Yes, I love women. Yes, I'm good to women I sleep with. If I'm not good to you, it's because I don't want to sleep with you. But I love everybody, so it's all good.
Okay, continuing. Over the course of almost 18 months, the media's horror and transfixed attention and Trump's defiance and belligerence has become locked in place. And the train moving toward its certain crash has barreled on. See, it's not crash, Carol. Last week, after the airing of the Access Hollywood outtakes, which were from 10 years ago, much of the media, along with Trump's other foils, in other words, he's setting them up too, the Republican establishment and the liberal elite, much of these people was once again convinced that the wreck was happening. in awesome slow motion. Forget the fact that Trump had won the nomination both handily and fair and square. He would have to go. He would have to go. And even though he won the nomination, booted by the exact Republican establishment that he had heretofore vanquished. Then, failing once more to get the memo, in other words, Trump doesn't hear that they want him to leave. Then, failing once more to get the memo, Trump, angry and remorseless, he's not necessarily angry, is he, Ion? He puts on the anger?
Oh, yeah. He pours it on pretty good. It's a lie. It's all lies. You're all a bunch of liars. You're just lying. It's crooked Hillary. And if you didn't have the Clinton News Network, you couldn't do anything. And he calls off all of the Soros and all the people that Murdoch, all the rah-rah-rah, they're all about it.
This is not a valid menu option.
Right, but he's not mostly really angry. He's enjoying it.
He's just vocal.
All right. So then, failing once more to get the memo, Trump, angry and remorseless, stepped on to Sunday night's debate stage, ever more resolute and preposterous, incoherent but unyielding and savage, in his Trumpness. So he stepped on the stage anyways in his Trumpness. Contrition is bunk. And while this would surely not win him the election, it would, rallying the faithful, once more make clear the large and peculiar nature of the threat he presented in American life, and accordingly stoked the media's apoplexy. So, and while this would not, so this guy is starting at this point in the article saying he's probably not going to win, but that's not the issue. He's here to stoke the media's apoplexy. Another media seizure would again give Trump the opportunity to use it as a foil. Exactly what Ion said. His legitimacy, pussy talk and all, was the media's uncontrollable aversion to him. His legitimacy was the media. So the people like that. So what the media hate, the people like, is what you're saying, Ion.
Absolutely.
Right, and this guy's got it. The media once more shocked and appalled. No, sorry. His legitimacy, pussy talk and all, was the media's uncontrollable aversion to him. That's his legitimacy. And he knows that, correct? Ion, he knows
absolutely, and breathed it.
Breathed it. Breathed?
Breathed it. It's what's in his DNA.
All right.
He ejaculated with pussy.
Yeah, all right. The Trump base, a moving number, but on a bad day for Trump, probably still as much as 35% to 40% of the electorate, likely knew exactly who he was. The media, once more shocked and appalled, was the Johnny come lately to the party. The Access Hollywood outtakes may have been archived and unavailable until they were released, Carol. They were hidden somewhere. But the Howard Stern interviews, suddenly another exhibit in the furious coverage of Trump's vulgarity, and in their way vastly more jaw-dropping than even the bus banter. In other words, he said a lot of stuff on Howard Stern that's worse. These were always easily searchable. Perhaps the political press was too busy tweeting to look, or too confounded to understand. The Trump secret sauce, the Trump charisma, in brackets, for those who obviously think he has charisma of apparently an irresistible kind, so those dupes from the media's point of view of his charisma. So the Trump charisma, for those who obviously think he has charisma of apparently an irresistible kind, is vulgarity. His charisma is vulgarity, crudeness, impudence, and tastelessness. You agree that's what his vulgarity, his charisma is, Ion?
Well, no, it's that people are so tired. They're done. They're just over it. They're over it. They don't care what he says. They don't care what he does. They can do anything he wants to do. They say, fine. And then you have these charismatic, evangelical, speaking in unknown tongues, snake-handling Christian, saying, well, I love pussy, too. and then running around, it's unfathomable because they cannot deal with what this has done. And what this is...
Wait. Who can't deal with it? The media can't?
The world can't deal with what the media is doing. They can't take it. They are just mad. They're angry. People are furious. And they go, now, I don't like what he said at all. But then they go on. I'm still voting for Donald Trump. I don't like this system, but I'm still voting for Donald Trump. Well, he's going to tone that down, and that's fine. And we'll get him some good pussy because that bad pussy is bad. He can't have bad pussy. He's going to have some good pussy. But Once we get that straightened out, it's going to be fine. We're going to have to talk to him. We're going to work with him. But don't worry. We're going to work with him. He's going to change. We're going to change him. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make him better.
Right.
You're kind of going, nice.
And that's what I mean, Ken. We're witnessing the figure of a post-information society. It was a ground for 15 years. Now it's part of the election. It's the main point. We're finding out the media, nobody's paying attention to anything anymore. Correct, Ion?
And they keep talking and talking and talking, and then they double it down, and then they have 25 hours, and then 50 hours.
Okay. In this, so here, you know, Michael Wolff, the author here, is getting close. He doesn't get it all the way. He still thinks there's a value judgments going on. In the,
right.
He still thinks there's a bit of information communication going on. Okay. In the search for Trump's origins and how to explain them, there's few better places to examine than Howard Stern and the Shock Jocks, including Bubba the Love Sponge, Opie and Anthony and Johnny Dare. So they're Shock Jocks. Sexual nasties and incorrigibles, who along with political Shock Jocks, defined a new segment of sensibility in the 80s and 90s. Curiously, the answer to the question asked repeatedly and with incredulity in the past few days, the question is, who talks like this? Referring to Trump. That question is probably, the answer to that question is probably, here's the answer, very few beyond drunks and people in prison talk that way, Carol, okay? But entertainers talk like this all the time. Sexual hyperbole became the language of rappers, male comedy club performers, guy gross-out comedy movies, and now arguably Amy Schumer. She's a new, you know, shock jock comedian, taking the feminist side, apparently. In brackets, to the extent Amy is a takedown of the former, the male hyperbole, it is also an adoption of it. So she's taken on their style to nail them. So she's shock jocking from the other angle. All right, so he's saying that's already part of the culture. So then Michael Wolff says, so it's a particular sort of disconnect when a righteous Jake Tapper, he's a big up-and-coming nobody on CNN, all right? In for the decent world. He's the upcoming guy. So it's a particular sort of disconnect when a righteous Jake Tapper, once a glamour boy news star, now portly and grave, unrestrained in his open disgust for Trump, confronts Trump surrogate Rudy Giuliani and about the Access Hollywood video, calling Trump's description of his behavior sexual assault. And Tapper was hardly the only media person to turn vulgarity into criminal violence. So they're trying to claim that Trump's a criminal. In brackets, this is part of the skirmish that has taken place throughout the campaign on the real meaning of Trump's utterances. Was Trump truly inviting Russia to hack Hillary Clinton? Was he really urging Second Amendment nuts to shoot her? Does he really grab unsuspecting women by, as Tapper helpfully translated, the vagina? I guess they say vagina rather than pussy. So Tapper's a guy who doesn't get it, all right? So he's pointing this out. So is Trump a sociopath or a blowhard? Or is there any reason to make that distinction? And how do you deal with this in analytic terms if it is the precise attribute, this elemental blasphemy, that makes him credible? So how do you deal with it that this makes him credible as an anti-establishment voice to the 40%? Why is he credible to 40%? Ian, you would say it's 60% probably, right?
At least.
All right, next question. Is saying pussy something like saying no new taxes? After all, this was precisely the sort of aging Lothario comedy routine that helped keep Silvio Berlusconi in power in Italy and to distinguish him from everybody else in public life. So Berlusconi, you agree, did this first?
Nah, a version of it, but yeah.
A version, a rehearsal, a watered down but pushing it, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
To say that the media is confounded by Trump, repulsed and mesmerized, is of course an understatement. To say that its panic has increased with every advance he's made, every time he overcomes its dismissal of him, is as obvious. You know, to notice that he's doing this is obvious. To say that the mainstream media has collapsed its own methods and standards in telling the Trump story is as clear. So all the people see that, right? The media fucked themselves here. And
hard, and really hard, because his first thing after he said he was going to put Hillary Clinton in jail, his next thing is your First Amendment that says you can get on the TV and say any damn thing you want to, Those days are gone. You say something bad about President Trump and your ass will go to jail.
He's going to say that? You say he's going to say that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He will.
All right. So, he's saying, look, people, what the 40% see is clear. The media's fucked themselves. Then he goes, curiously, it may be NBC, arguably the most conflicted of media outlets, which has tried to walk a careful or anyway self-conscious line that has been most vilified. NBC helped create Trump with The Apprentice, so he was on their network, but that was under Jeff Zucker, now CNN's chief. NBC News, now under Andy Lack, who led the news decision before in the 1990s, and who's perhaps the last representative of a judicious network news, or at least the memory of it. There's my point, Carolyn. It's all an after image of the whole process anyways, of the post-information society. NBC News lost its position in the primary debates this winter because Trump accused its sister channel, CNBC, not run by Andy Lack, of biased questioning. So here's NBC trying to have a conscience, yet they're fucking losing the most. Is that what he's saying, Ion? Did I get that right?
Basically, right. Yeah. That's what he's
they
trying to convey.
Still,
he's not doing a good job, but it's okay.
Right, but NBC still thinks there's an information society. So and if you think
well,
that way,
what
you
can't
don't get
believe. It. All they have to do is just have to tell the people that he gropes women and nobody will vote for him. Well, and instead what happens is they say that and they say, well, he didn't really grope them hard. He groped them just a little bit. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like he didn't like put his whole penis in her, just a part of his penis was put in her. And they were sitting at a table in front of her daddy. Her daddy was present when he was putting his penis on her penis. And his was there, and so he didn't think anybody was offended because she was there, and during a party. There were 1,600 people watching this go on. And that was 44 years ago, and nobody said a word about it till just this week that I decided to run for president.
You're saying that the media backpedals after they get outraged. Then they backpedal? Is that what you just said?
The media has doubled down incredibly, and people don't care. If you turn it on now, they'll tell you there's no way he's lost. They're having parties, but they keep talking about it. Well, if he's lost, why are you taking the next 70,000 hours to tell us how he's going to lose, he's going to lose, he's going to lose, he's going to lose, he hates women, he hates women, he doesn't. It's very obvious he loves women, he loves pretty women. He just doesn't like, he should say, I just don't care for ugly women. That's what he should say. That's what his
argument. I said that a few weeks ago.
And I'll let you know what ugly women are. So, you know, I'll be the judge of that. It is unbelievable. And meanwhile, bar halls all across the world are absolutely railing and laughing and carrying on with this ridiculousness as it goes on and the beat goes on.
All right, let me continue. That's great. In a recent Trump-Clinton forum, Matt Lauer was roasted by the rest of the media for being too tough on Clinton. Last week, learning that its show, Access Hollywood, had the Trump video and believing that ownership gave it control and hence the time of its choosing to release it, NBC debated the ethics and liabilities of airing the video. And undoubtedly the damage to Billy Bush, Trump's hapless interlocutor and a rising star at NBC's Today Show before his recent suspension. So they said, well, should we ruin Billy Bush's career? Anyways, they were trying to figure out what to do. They fucked up and debated this long enough to get scooped by a leak to the Washington Post, which has been especially aggressive in its prosecution of Trump's vileness. The old-fashionedness of the way NBC seems to have reflexively seen the story, an important story that needed to be vetted, versus a story that could kill Donald Trump, hesitating because you might destroy someone's chance to be president versus rushing precisely because you can destroy his chance. So they were, what, wondering how far to go because they believe they'd ruin Trump, okay? Another hour. So the old-fashioned way that they were equivocating about this might be hard to explain to an anti-Trump generation of reporters. The reasonable lesson here for any news operation is that the Trump story can only be told hotly. It's not a cool story, it's hot. Trying to rise above the conflict risks losing the story. Being part of the conflict is the story. That's being the media and being information. Most outlets have a de facto policy forsaken on the one hand, on the other. Most outlets have, by a de facto policy, forsaken reasonable debate and judgment of both sides. You know, on the one hand, there's this and on the other. That's been replaced by the new rationale of what they call false equivalency. So they say, you can't compare Trump against the norm. However, bizarre to the 40%. So the norm is Hillary Clinton, Carol. And you can't compare Trump, even though 40% of the people, and probably 70% of the people, hate Hillary Clinton, the media thinks she's normal and correct. And so even though so many people think Clinton is bizarre, they're saying in this instance, however bizarre to the 40%, the norm is Hillary Clinton. This then is exactly the card that Trump repeatedly plays. Right, Ion? The fact that they're using Hillary as a norm of decency. If he didn't pay taxes, Trump says she deleted 33,000 emails. Or if he might have spoken crudely, Clinton's husband has actually been accused of rape, abetted by her help in whitewashing those charges. So that's called the false equivalency doesn't work. Right, Ion? It doesn't work. They're trying
correct.
To say that.
Correct.
Yeah, that Hillary's the norm and decent, and Trump isn't, but Trump can always bring up something that deflates that superiority they're
Trump
giving
didn't
Hillary.
Pay taxes for 20, Trump didn't pay taxes for 20 years. Well, if he was smart, what he'd say is, yes, I did. I paid every tax I owed. I got a credit from your law that you passed that you didn't change. And that's why you're not going to be president, Madam Secretary. It's because the laws that I win by makes me smart, because I'm smart. I don't pay stupid taxes because you waste the money. And by the way, if everybody's paying goddamn taxes, how do you owe $20 trillion if everybody's paying taxes? How does this really work anyway? And then
then
you don't have a conversation anymore.
Got you. Then this Michael Wolff says, this is a particular confusing piece of media and political theater.
It's just particularly interesting. Yeah.
It's like a payday show. People don't understand Ion or even Bob. You know, it's confusing, right, Carol?
That guy,
yeah.
They're lost.
Yeah. Payday is the hidden ground here. This is a particular confusing piece of media and political theater. On some level playing field, Trump is certainly right. He's gross, but Bill Clinton, in many instances, is as gross or even fractionally grosser. And Bill Clinton has benefited a lot more from having Hillary defend him than Trump has benefited from Melania, however you say your name. The media shock.
Melania.
What? Melania. Okay. So, you know, he's worse than Trump, but he's got Hillary defending him. Trump's got just poor Melania. The media shock at Trump's reprise of the Clinton sex years reflects its Clinton bias and also its belief that this is a lose-lose strategy. They think that Trump's doing won't help him at all with women. Will it help him with women, Ian, or they don't care as women?
They love him. They think he's wonderful. They're glad.
All right, good. Trump's and the media can never fucking admit that, Carol, because that means that the children don't matter anymore. Because they're trying to hold up a level of civil decency for the children, right, Ion?
Our grandchildren are watching the TV and they can't watch Clinton News Network anymore because they said pussy on the air.
Yeah.
Well, our friend yesterday said she hated Trump for all his words.
And she said it was a male-female battle, archetypal battle. But that's not what's happening, right, Ian? It's not a male-female archetype.
No, this has nothing to do with male-female. This has everything to do with the meme and the medium and the message.
Exactly. It's McLuhan's last hurrah, which is really payday.
Which is what Anderson Cooper said at the first debate. And it was like Annie Hall, and he had Marshall McLuhan sitting right here. We're going to talk to you about it. We're going to tell you all about it. We sent you that clip. You have it.
Right.
The last time he'll ever be mentioned ever alive.
Okay, we're almost finished. Trump's blunt instrument strategy, the lineup of grim and damaged victims positioned up front in Sunday's debate, you know, all the Brodericks and Paula Jones, was intended. He was hoping to have them right in front of the debate row. That strategy was intended to highlight the media's refusal to entertain that there are two dogs, at least, with similar proclivities at the apex of American political life, you know, Bill and Trump. End quote. Quotes, I guess the media says, Paul Krugman said in the Times, Yes, Bill Clinton had affairs, but there's a world of difference between consensual sex, however inappropriate, and abuse of power to force those less powerful to accept your urges, says Paul Krugman in the Times, circumlocuting the Clinton legacy in curiously Victorian language. End of bracket. This, Trump understands, resonates with a 40% that thinks the Clintons are as morally sickening and sick as the other side thinks Trump is. So he's saying the hypocrisy of the media resonates with his supporters. Is that what it's saying here, Ion?
Yep.
That's what Michael's saying here.
They don't care. They don't care. They just want her not there. They don't want any more of what they already had. Whatever they ordered on the menu, they don't want to be served that anymore. And they don't care what you call it or how you say it. They don't want any more of that.
Right.
Just not that.
Paul,
whatever it is, does it involve that? No. Okay, then I don't want any if it involves that.
We do not want Bill Clinton, no matter how nice he is, compared to Trump. No way is what they're saying.
Correct.
No, Bill, too. Bill and Hillary. Yeah.
Then,
so it's a confusing scenario, says Michael Wolff. Then he says, but then again, this too is confounding for the media and establishment, both Democratic and Republican. It's perhaps the most confounding part. Why would you do something that only speaks? So why is Trump trying to appeal to a minority, is what he's going to say. Why would you do something that only speaks to 40%? What's that going to get you? This is what is so hard to grasp. Everything he does guarantees he will lose. The train is sure to crash. How do you analyze willful self-destruction in horse race political terms? Now, Ian wouldn't agree with that, but let's just see what he's missing and what he's trying to say, because there'll be a bit of relevance in it. He says, of course, it's technically possible for him to win. There are black swan events, in brackets, and there could be a terrorist attack, a Hillary blackout, a spectacular email revelation, but even here, the reversal would require a perfect tsunami. That's the end of the bracketed part.
We did say the perfect storm, bang, bang.
Right. It is a perfect tsunami, which this guy can't believe is happening. Anyways, he says, other than a few weeks frisson of close polling in September, there's never been any actual alarm that he might really be elected. Now, Ian, would you say behind the scenes they know he's going to be elected and that's the alarm?
They're scared. They're just pumping it on because they think, well, there's nobody. But see, they're the same ones that said they never did anything. Why didn't they squash him like a bug when he started off? But they thought, that's Donald Trump. He's ridiculous. He'll never do that. He can't. People will stomp him. They'll shoot him in the head. They won't do that. What are you talking about? Donald Trump? That's crazy. He can't do anything. He'll start that potty mouth and then people will leave in droves. They'll run him out on a rail. But instead, he's like, I can shoot somebody in the head in Fifth Avenue in front of my building that I bought with your money. Nobody will do my ratings will go up. And that's exactly what's happening.
Right. So you're saying at the beginning, the naive media thought that Trump would blow up pretty quickly.
That's all they were talking about. They didn't even really give him much credibility. They're like, oh, he'll be gone in a minute. Oh,
yeah.
That would just be fleeting. Oh, it's just, well, because history says if they make one little gap, one little Aleppo moment, and it's over forever. He's had 10,416 Aleppo moments, and then they say, well, who cares what Aleppo is anyway? Do you know what Aleppo is? No, I didn't know what it was. I'm not running for president. I don't even have a penis. I'm not running for president, so I'm not going to be. And then they go all this stuff around. Well, you don't even know what Aleppo is. Even now, you're faulting this Goober guy because he didn't know. You don't know. And he's like, why is that important? I don't care what Aleppo is. Kill everybody in Aleppo. I didn't know where it was or what it was. So that's another example of this standard that they're trying to make as a standard, which isn't—it's just not that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Carol. I pointed this out a couple weeks ago. The media says Trump's a liar, and the people say, well, so are you. In other words, the media still thinks they're fucking real. Nobody takes them seriously. It's a post-information society, as I've been saying for 15 years, 20 years. Ian told us back in 2009, people were in a whatever state of mind. They just want to get out of this place. You know, give me ascension or kill me, right, is the attitude. They're not – nothing has worked. No information ever worked.
You got angry with us for playing it over. We got to get out of this place, so much so that your idiot Bob Dylan gets a Nobel Peace Prize for idiocy. They have an idiocy column. And Bob Dylan, now he's an idiot, and he's a private person. He's an idiot. He got the idiocy, Nobel idiocy, prize for idiocy. He's an idiot.
I just quoted my definition of private idiocy, Gil. Yeah, very good at it. You got your fluid down.
We know now that it's the end of the beginning. It's the end of the beginning when they give him, Bob Dylan, who we were just talking about, a Nobel Peace Prize for being
there. I know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Other than a few weeks for Zahn when they thought, holy shit, close polling in September, there's never been any actual alarm that he might really be elected. Well, that's not true. The reason no newspaper has endorsed him, no major CEO has contributed to him, and why important parts of the Republican hierarchy have publicly rejected him is as much because he is unelectable as because he shouldn't be elected. So Michael thinks he is unelectable. Michael, being a journalist, he has to believe some information means something. So he's saying there is something that Trump can't beat. So then he goes, but then he has to figure out, well, what is Trump doing? It's a losing cause. Why? So he goes, what is Trump doing? What's the point? Why doesn't he just quit? Then Michael, we're coming near the end, says, because politics is really only analyzed in traditional win-lose political terms. Everybody, and he says, read the media. In other words, it's nothing but the Android meme, the media, right? So everybody, the media, fails to appreciate the astonishing success he's had, even if he loses. Never has somebody with so little come as close to being president as Donald Trump has. In celebrity terms, his accomplishment is off the charts. Now, it is true that the only way he has gotten this far is to behave in a way that guarantees he can't actually go any further. But you can't have everything. But he's saying Trump has been incredible that he got this far. All right, Carol? You got that? He doesn't know that Trump's going to even go further. What he's gotten is a massive market share anyway. It is unlikely that the Trump base is, post-defeat, going to contentedly return to more traditional political figures. No, he's got them, maybe for keeps if he wants them. And if he doesn't try to become a politician reaching for he will keep them if he doesn't try to become a politician reaching for 51%. In other words, he can't go for success. All he has to do is continue to stand tall for, well, vulgarity, among other things. Stand tall for vulgarity. He's going to represent vulgarity, the values, the services of it. All he has to do is continue to stand tall for what? Well, vulgarity, among other things. But what is he going to do with this 40%, with the great unwashed, the deplorables? That's the real question, not whether he's going to win or lose the presidency. In fact, in its way, it's almost as unsettling a question as what would happen if he actually won. You get that, Carol? What's he going to do when he loses? That's a role that would likely hem him in if he won. Being outside, standing with his huge, aggrieved portion of the electorate might be much more threatening. The media, in its amusement, created him. The media, in its horror, propels him on, supplying the conflict that sustains him. The Trump era, despite the cocksure certainty of nearly every tweeting journalist, is not ending. It has just begun. What do you think of that conclusion, Ion? Even though he's a little off.
He's a little off, but yeah, let the party's on.
In other words, if Trump did lose, he'd still be fucking running for and being president.
He'd still be president, Kel.
He has hijacked a new hidden ground, the new figure of post-information society. So Michael can't believe that he'll win. And it's interesting, he's partly right about the false scenario of him losing, about the power of Trump, that it's just begun. Correct, Ion? That's where he's right. It's just begun.
Yeah, just begun.
But it's going to be worse because he's going to win. It's going to be worse than Michael projected. All right. Well, I want to do a detail. I will clip this and we'll send this to Michael and all the other journalists. They got to hear this. We're going on record for what's going to happen. And I'm sure, Ion, if Trump loses, you'll have a lot to explain there about how right you were anyways, correct? You're never wrong, correct?
No, it's not about right or wrong. It's how you place the blame, Bob.
Okay, you'll be placing blame if you lose.
Yeah, it's not whether you win or lose. It's how you place the blame.